May it please the court, I'm Stephanie Cunningham on behalf of Mr. LaPointe. So to be elevated to a felony...
How many minutes would you like
to reserve? Oh, I'm sorry. I would like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal. Thank you. To be elevated to felony vehicle prowl, the defendant must be convicted of that crime, of misdemeanor vehicle prowl, on two or more separate occasions. And the phrase separate occasions is used a handful of times by the legislature in various statutes and has been interpreted by this court and the Supreme Court to clearly and unambiguously mean what one would think it would mean, its ordinary meaning, distinct, individual, non-continuous occurrence or incident. So basically separated by time, place, or both. And in this case, Mr. LaPointe was charged under two cause numbers, but he entered...
And he had two separate... there were two separate amended information. I mean, originally there were two separate informations.
Yes, so there were two separate amended informations, but those amended informations were filed on the same day
right.
as part of a global resolution.
Well, even if we didn't talk about global resolution,
right.
I mean, when you start at the beginning, there are two separate informations.
Correct.
They were not filed on the same day.
Correct.
They charge vehicle prowl. One of them has two counts. One of them has one count. Then there is an amended information filed on the same day in each of these, mm-hmm. and on that day, as I can understand it from the record, Mr. LaPointe pleads guilty, and is he sentenced that day too?
He pleads guilty to all three charges.
Well, he pleads guilty to the two amended informations.
Correct. And then the judgment and sentence was entered on a separate day, but again at the same time, the sentences were run concurrent to each other. So they were all, the pleas were taken on the same day, the judgment and sentence was entered on the same day.
So what does convicted mean? When do you, what's your position about when was he convicted? Was it the day he entered the plea or the day of the judgment?
Well, the judgment and sentence generally is the day that you look at for the date of conviction. When you're going back, for example, in the SRA, when you're looking at the date of conviction, it's the date that the judgment is entered.
Under the SRA, isn't the conviction the date of there was an adjudication of guilt?
Well, I think, it can depend, but in this case, it's not really, that's not particularly relevant. Because
well, it is
either
relevant
way,
because it's part of the language, so.
But either way, it happened on the same date. So in this particular case, he pleaded guilty on the same date to both amended informations. He was sentenced on the same date for both amended for both guilty pleas.
So do you disagree with Judge Spearman?
Is
conviction the date of adjudication?
Well, that wasn't actually my focus of the research, and I guess off the top of my head, I'm having trouble pulling the statute out of my head to tell you whether it's the date of adjudication, date of the guilty plea, or the date of sentencing. But either way, in this particular case...
Well, will the SRA tell us the answer?
I would imagine it would, yes. And case law, and I'd be happy to provide additional... And I'm sorry that I can't remember at the moment.
Let me ask you a different question. As I understand the reasoning of the trial court, and I believe this is also the state's mm-hmm. reasoning, conclusion that it's now at the felony level comes from an application of the canon of statutory construction known as expressio unius, et cetera, which means that that which the legislature has expressly designated for the statute to operate on, that which is omitted mm-hmm. was intentionally omitted.
Right. But
and I haven't seen either one of you, frankly, I mean, neither brief really goes into it. I mean, mm-hmm. that canon of statutory construction is probably applied in hundreds of published appellate opinions,
sure.
and yet nobody goes into it to say whether this is the kind of situation in which that canon of statutory construction puts
right.
the thumb on the scales.
Well, and I'll say that the reason I don't go into it is because I don't think it applies in this case. What applies is the plain language of the statute. And the plain language of this statute is very broad language that says separate occasions. And you apply the ordinary meaning to that.
Let's look at it this way.
Right.
The legislature has one statute. It has a couple of sections.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that it's got two sections is perhaps right. not all that important. What's mm-hmm. important is that it said, this is the rule, but it applies to these two circumstances.
Sure.
The fact that you think that if you can ignore subsection 4, the plain language is fine. I'm
right.
suggesting that subsection 4 as part of the statute, that you look to figure out what it plainly means. And if the state and the trial court were correct that that canon of statutory construction applies, then the plain language would not mean what you think it means.
I would disagree.
I think you have to come to grips with that. And if you haven't, you know.
Well, and here's why I would disagree with that. Because this is slightly different, because what subsection 4 is limiting the broader umbrella of separate occasions. It's providing a little bit more information.
Case do you rely on for that kind of analysis? Have you found another case?
I'm relying on the plain language, because I think if the legislature...
Okay, you have not
found
another case.
I'm sorry?
You have not found a case that is analogous in its application or rejection of the expressio unius canon.
No.
All right, thank you.
But I don't believe that it applies in this case, because
I just asked you if you knew of a case, and it seems that you don't.
No. And if the legislature had wanted to limit separate occasions to what was listed in subsection 4, they would have used plain language to do so. The court would have said, it is a Class C felony upon a third or subsequent conviction, unless it is charged in the same charging document or based on the same date. And this court didn't do that. What they did is used a very broad term that they've used in a number of statutes and that has been interpreted to mean a very specific, obvious thing. And then they removed a couple of things from that that we normally would have thought would be included in that definition. So they have taken those out of the broader definition. This isn't the same sort of situation where they're listing out that these are the things that are a separate occasion. What they're doing, the legislature gave us a broad term that encompasses a lot of things and then took a few things out of that. So that's why I don't believe that the omission, the list that omits certain things, I don't believe that way of interpreting a statute, that that applies in this case. We look at the plain
Sometimes
language.
Sometimes it would be helpful to look at some cases where it did apply in order to figure out whether your argument is supported by case law or whether it's just proceeding sua sponte from your brain and not as an issue of first impression.
Okay. Well, I apologize. I stand by the argument that the plain language of this statute says that if a separate occasion is a distinct individual non-continuous occurrence and event, and that we don't need to go past the plain language of the statute in order to determine what the statute means and what the legislature intended. And I will reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning. My name is Alice Dagan, and I am a deputy prosecuting attorney with King County, and I represent the state of Washington in this matter. Just as a preliminary matter, I did want to let the panel know that the state is no longer seeking appellate costs in this matter, and so that issue does not need to be addressed at all. So again, the primary issue here is whether or not the appellate's previous convictions for vehicle prowl in the second degree, which is a misdemeanor, is elevated to a felony based on his two prior convictions. And as noted, there were actually three prior convictions for vehicle prowl in the second degree. Two of those convictions were charged in the same charging document, though they were based on different dates.
But that's covered by subsection 4.
Correct. And the second one was charged in a separate charging document. Mm-hmm. And they were pled on the same date and then subsequently sentenced on another date altogether.
You seem to be relying primarily on subsection 4. Is that correct?
I believe that the state does believe you need to read the statutes 3 and 4 together. So subsection 3.
Well, does the statute require us to do that? I mean, the statute says except as provided in subsection 3. It doesn't say except as provided in subsection 3 and 4. So why don't we just go to 3 and figure out what 3 means?
Because 4, in essence, helps define what 3 is saying.
And do you have some authority for that?
Just the fact that we read statutes as a whole to discern their meaning.
Well, you cited the expressio unius canon, didn't you?
I responded essentially to the primary argument that the appellate was making, and that is whether or not the prior conviction satisfied the same occasion. So that is where the state focused its energy and looked specifically at the case. I believe we were asked by the panel to look specifically at a case, State v. Kintz, which is 169 Winsecond 537. That which actually discussed separate occasion as well. What subsection, if I may just for a moment, what subsection 3 of the statute says is what elevates it to a Class C felony is a third subsequent conviction. And a third subsequent conviction means that a person has been previously convicted at least two separate occasions of the crime of vehicle prowl in the second degree.
You did cite the canon. On your brief at page 5, it says, where a statute designates a list of things whereupon the statute operates, the inference arises that the legislature intended to omit other things not listed. Specific inclusions exclude implications, citing In re Eaton. Now, I'm wondering whether you have found a statute, I mean a case, where the that canon, not just the headnote, but the canon is actually applied to a situation anything like the present.
And Your Honor, I did not, and that is what I meant.
Because that is basically the argument that you're making, and it appears from the trial court's ruling that that's the way the trial court reasoned. That was because there were two situations specifically mentioned in subsection 4 that the legislature must have intended to exclude other situations.
That's true.
Your argument.
I'm
wondering whether whether you are arguing a typical or an outlier example of the application of the statutory canon.
Again, because the state did not focus on that part of the argument in finding case law,
it is in your brief.
It is mentioned in the brief.
It's your basic argument.
It is. However,
you
I would
don't
say
call it that.
I would say that's true, and I did not follow that line of reasoning as deeply as the court obviously would have liked. I do think, however, that after reading State v. Kintz, which is a case that this panel asked us to address, that case in and of itself supports the reading of the statute. And in that case, which was a stalking case, the stalking statute essentially says that a stalking is an intentional and repeatedly harassing or repeatedly following another person. And repeatedly is defined as on two or more separate occasions. In that case, not to go through the cops, there were two incidences in which a man in a park-like setting passed by a woman out for a jog or out for a walk on six different occasions in a vehicle.
How is passing by somebody who's out for a walk in any way similar to having a conviction?
It's the nature of the term separate occasion, which is
drive-by conviction.
It's
walk by sentencing.
It's the separate conviction. It's the what does separate occasion mean?
Separate occasions, is it referring to incidents of criminal behavior or is it referring to the fact of conviction?
In the
statute.
Stalking statute, it's referring to the pattern, the repeated incident of going past the incident, right? And that's said early here.
Section 3, what are we talking about?
And similarly here, I believe we are, in fact, also talking about separate incidences.
Do you think subsection 3 is then referring to different crimes, different dates of crimes?
Exactly.
Different criminal incidents. It's not referring to the fact of conviction.
Exactly.
And how do you get that from the language of subsection 3?
Because
convicted
right.
On at least two separate occasions.
Subsequent means that a person has been previously convicted at least two separate occasions of the crime of vehicle prowl.
So
it's the separate occasions. What does that mean? Yes.
Two separate occasions.
Yes. But what does that mean to be convicted?
Yes, and what does it mean?
So, well, I believe it in the question that you asked earlier that a plea, in fact, would be a conviction, as would a jury finding of guilty, not the actual sentencing.
So how do you get two separate occasions out of these convictions which occurred on the same day?
Because they are separate incidences. They were charged in separate documents, meaning that they are wholly separate incidences. There was one. And then there was another.
But it happened on the same day.
On the same day.
If you look at the definition of separate occasion, it's the same occurrence.
The state disagrees. The state does not believe it's the same occurrence.
It's inconsistent with subsection 4, though, is it?
I don't believe it's inconsistent.
It says based on the same date of occurrence. Now, so that means you'd have two crimes, two vehicle prowls. Both of them occurred on the same day, but they didn't occur at the same exact time. One occurred after the other, just like here with the guilty plea. One occurred after the other.
But much like as was pointed out in the Kintz case, which is the stalking case, you don't look at the duration. You look at the pattern. What is it that we're looking at? What was the legislature getting at? They are getting at making a serial prowler a felony, not the individual who goes out.
So you're not a serial prowler if you do several on the same day, though.
That is, I think, what the legislature was getting at. If you're having a particularly bad day and you prowl one time and it's four times,
but
that does not
mean serial convictions if all the convictions occur on the same day.
Yes, because the incidences occurred on different dates. So it's not the fact that he was sentenced one and then the other.
If it was the incidents that were controlling, would not they have used that language in subsection 3? And they did not. They used the word convicted.
Yes, but it's an entire sentence. It's a third or subsequent conviction means a person has been previously convicted at least two separate occasions. So what is the occasion? The occasion is the incident, the charging.
Date of the conviction, is it not?
It's the conviction, but is there something that makes it a separate occasion? And yes, there is something that makes it a separate occasion. It's the fact that they were separate incidences.
It could have been for under different circumstances. There could have been a conviction that was sentenced on some day this year, and then another conviction that was sentenced on some day the previous year. Then they would be separate.
Sure,
but the fact that they were sentenced on the same day as happened here. Isn't that often because there is a global resolution, or because the person has pleaded guilty?
Well, it's
rather
often
than having a jury or a judge trial that operates as a conviction. The conviction happens when not when the person pleads guilty, but when the court is actually sitting up there and accepts the plea of guilty and enters judgment.
That's true. And sentences often occur that's on the same time to allow the defendant the benefit of a concurrent sentence rather than a consecutive sentence.
But I mean, that's not my question. I understand that's true, but it may also be, and I'm kind of asking you, isn't it typical that happens when there are guilty pleas?
That there is a global resolution?
Yes.
It's not atypical. It is a typical situation. Mm-hmm.
And that would be a situation that, if we're trying to figure out what the legislature had in mind, they might have been thinking of that. And thinking that, we like it when people plead guilty.
That is an interpretation. I do not believe when you read the entire statute as a whole that is what they were looking at. I believe if you read the entire statute as a whole, the state believes that they were looking at what they were looking at making a felony is a person who is a chronic prowler, a person who prowls on more than one occasion, so not a particular day or not a particular incident. And that's what they were trying to make a felony.
Of the word convicted, do you think there's some ambiguity about what the legislature intended by that word?
If they had used a better word, we wouldn't be here necessarily. I don't think that the word is confusing. I don't think that the word makes the statute.
One word is that that's the date they were convicted on, but you seem to be arguing it doesn't exactly mean that. It means the date that the crime occurred. And so is that an ambiguous thing there?
No, I just believe that you have to look at the word in the context of the entire sentence and the entire sentence in the context of the entire statute.
Okay.
And so, again, the state would argue that the two separate incident dates, the two separate charging documents, is what makes this a separate incident, which makes it a distinct
incident.
You've
answered my question. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, the legislature, it's doubtful that the legislature intended this entire thing to depend on whether or not the state decides to charge in separate documents or a single document. And in this case, you had three different offenses separated by about 2 months each, between each one. And two of them were charged in one information, and one was charged in a separate information. So just the bad luck of having them charged separately means that the legislature couldn't have intended that charging decision.
Didn't they say that?
Well, no, because there's
in subsection 4, did they not say that?
Well, charging
documents
do not count as
so,
separate.
It means so if they are charged in the if they,
right,
if they are, they do, right? I mean, it's why.
But then they're turning over the authority to the state to decide. Well, you know what? We're going to charge them in three separate.
But you've got
so
three
get,
victims, you know, and so you're talking about
right.
bad luck.
You do.
I think the legislature probably had in mind the victims.
What the legislature wanted us to look at is the date of conviction, not the date of the incident and not how many, not necessarily how many charging documents there are, but when the convictions were entered. And if the single charging document has multiple charges in it that occurred on the same day or different days, that's one single that's not a separate occasion, that's a single occasion. The legislature laid out a very broad term that's used in other statutes that's been interpreted very broadly, and the legislature is aware of this interpretation, and they used this phrase in this statute. And then what they did, instead of laying out a separate occasion means A, B, and C, then we would assume that D is not included, but that's not what the legislature did here. They used a very broad term and then used subsection D to remove a few circumstances that we normally would assume would be separate, would be considered separate occasions. So this is not...
Are we going to see a scramble now between the defense counsel are going to try to get all their sentences on the same day and the prosecutors are going to try to make sure...
It's possible. I mean, there's...
They are plead guilty on a different day. I mean, that doesn't seem like a very practical way of proceeding.
Well, I think it is a practical way of... It is practical to try to encourage plea agreements, to try to encourage resolution, a global resolution. It's beneficial to the prosecutor and the defense. But the point is there's ways that this can be gamed on either side, and I think that's a distraction from the main issue, which is what does the statute mean? The legislature was very clear, and they used very plain language, and that's all we need to look at here to determine what ought to happen. The legislature said convicted on two or more separate occasions. So that is what they mean. They mean the legislature says... convicted on at least two separate occasions. That's all we need to look at here. And that language is very plain, and in this particular case, Mr. LaPointe was not convicted on two separate occasions, and his felony vehicle trial conviction ought to be reversed. Thank
well,
you.
Well, it's not reversed. You're asking to remand.
The felony ought to be vacated
right.
And remanded for entry of misdemeanor,
right.
Yes.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you.